Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ayin Vav. We are Be'ezus Hashem at the beginning of a new perek, the sixth perek of Masechet is Bava Metzia, perek HaSoicher HaSo'umnin, three lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Hei Omid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael HaNasunu Batzor V'Ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned in honor of the wedding of Yosef Zev Dicker to Sima Shapiro. Yosef Zev is the son of Dr. Morty Dicker, who's Echot Mimnei Chabura. May the Dicker and Shapiro Mishpachas have tremendous naches from this Zivug and from all their children, and may we always share in Simchas together. So, Zok Tehilu Gemishnah. Asoicher Esa Umnin, if somebody hires Umnin, now loosely translated, the word Umnin means workers, stating that the first Tosfos in the Perek says that the word Umnin is actually more nuanced, or more accurately, it's a more general term. It's less nuanced. A worker in the times of Chazal could have meant one of two things, either a socher or a kablon. A socher is someone that gets paid to work for a certain period of time. So, for example, a schir yoim is someone that's getting paid to work for a day. Schir shana is someone that's getting paid to work for a year. A kablon is someone that gets paid to do a specific job. Tosfos says that the word umnin is koilo, both a socher and a kablon. Tosfos says that we find very often that the word used by Chazal to describe a worker is a poyo. A poyo, says Tosfos, is a socher. Tosfos' lashon is poyalim loy mashma el eschire yoy. A poyal is someone that gets paid, and it sounds like to do a job for a day. So it's interesting because the name of the parak that we're learning right now is Asoicher Esa Umnin. The name of the next parak that we're going to learn is Asoicher Esa Poyalim. Umnin, poyalim, aren't they the same thing? That's the first Tosfos here in parak Asoicher Esa Umnin, where Tosfos says that an umnin means either a socher or a kablon, whereas a poyal means dafka a socher. Stating that, although the introduction to the perek is Hasoicher Esa Umnin, which almost sounds like that all the halachas that we're going to learn now relate equally to a socher as they do to a kablon, the emes is that's not the case. And as we'll see, there are some halachas that are only negei a socher, there are other halachas that are only negei a kablon, and then there are halachas that are negei both the socher and the kablon. Either way, says the Mishnah, if somebody hires umnin, v'hitu zeh azeh, and then they fooled each other, the Gemara very much in today's daf is going to tell us what those words, v'hitu zeh azeh, mean. So the halacha is, ein lahem zeh al zeh el tarimus. The two people that fooled each other can have any monetary tainus on each other. Rather, all they can have is quote-unquote tainus, which means if you want to have tainus on the person, you have a right to do so. But other than tainus, you can't have any choshen mishpatvir. Meaning, soicher esa umnin, there was some taz, somebody fooled somebody. The one that was fooled would love to sue the person that fooled him in court. Says the Mishnah, you can't. The Mishnah continues and says that if somebody hires a chamor, that's somebody that rides donkeys, he's in the logistics business, he carries things from point A to point B. The es hakador. So Rashi says, a kador is balkarin. That's someone that drives a wagon. So usually kador is miloshin kedera. Kador says, Rashi over here is someone that drives a wagon. It's almost as if the word would have been not kadar, but karar. In fact, if you look at the second Tosfos in the parak, Tosfos says, es hakara b'shnei reishin, v'hu bal karoin. Then Tosfos says, I did see your size where the letter is not karar, it's not two reishes, but rather it's kadar. The garsi kadar yesh loymar the lahachi nok at kadar. The reason the Mishnah refers to these wagon drivers as a kadar lefisha kadorin regilin liyos lehem kroinos, because people that used to carry these kederos, they used to have a current. But the point is, it's not the kedera that we're focusing on, but rather it's the current that we're focusing on. So regardless, if somebody hires donkey drivers, or if somebody hires wagon drivers, now what did he hire them for? Lahavi, priprin, to bring these fancy, expensive woods, or v'chalilim, or flutes, the kala ilameis. The purpose of the flute was either for a kala, for kol chosim v'kol kala, or it was for a mace, for the kinnus that used to take place at funerals, or upayalim lahalois pishtanim enusher, if somebody hired workers, and the purpose of these workers were to take this person's flax out of the mishra, out of the water that they were being soaked in. V'chol davar sha'aveh. Or if somebody hired a worker to do something where if the worker is not going to do the job, this person that hired the worker is going to incur a loss. Meaning all these things that we just mentioned. If somebody hires a chamer or a kadar to bring woods or flutes, or if somebody hires a poyel to take his flax out of the mishra, if the worker is not going to do this, the person that hired him is going to have a loss. Meaning, if you're not going to have a flute at your wedding, so there's a loss. Is it a monetary loss? But it's a loss. So there's some davar of it over here. V'chazru bahen. Meaning, so all these people were hired, and now the payalim, they backed out. They didn't do the job that they had committed to do. So the halacha is like this. Mokam she'en shamotim. In the event that this person that hired these payalim can't find someone to replace the payalim at the same rate that he had initially agreed on with these payalim, soicher aleihem. What he has a right to do is, he has a right to hire someone to replace them for more money, and here's the punchline, have them pay for it. That's what soicher aleihem means. Meaning, you're going to hire, they're going to do the work for you. Now, it's going to cost you more money, but the only reason it's costing you more money is because these payalim basically left you holding the bag. So they now are going to be the ones that are achroi. They're going to be the ones that are going to be responsible. They're going to have to pay the difference. Now, this is a little bit of a chiddush in the world of Bava Kama and Bava Metzia, meaning you're treating them essentially almost like a mazik. They said they would do something. Okay, they backed out. They're not doing it now. Because of that, they have a chayshim mishpah responsibility to make up the difference of any cost that you're suddenly going to incur. Which one of the arba avos nezikin is this? I guess Adam Amazik. But is this really an Adam Amazik? So we're going to see more about this in tomorrow's daf. But high level, this is Dina de Garmi. They were goyrin, but not Groma ben Azakim Potter. But this is a Dina de Garmi, directly indirect. And it's for that reason they're going to be responsible. Again, very much the topic of tomorrow's daf. Oy Matan, another thing that you have a right to do is you can fool them. So you can go to these workers and say, come on, don't back out. No, we decided we don't want to do this. I'll tell you what, if you do the job, I'm going to pay you an exorbitant amount of money. And then you just don't pay them that money. So that's the oldest trick in the book. And ordinarily, obviously, this is not something that you would be allowed to do. But in this instance, it's something you are allowed to do. Another halacha. Soicha umnin. If somebody hires umnin, v'chazru behen, and then while they were doing the work in the middle, they back out. Now Rashi says, these umnin here are kablonim. So these were people that were hired to do a specific job, and in middle of doing the job, they backed out. So the halach is yadam ala tachtoina. They're going to get the lower end of the deal. So there's a long Rashi on the bottom of the yom that explains what yadam ala tachtoina is. So Rashi says as follows. Rashi says that if you hire someone to do a job, and then in middle of the job, the person backs out. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to hire somebody else now to finish the job. Now, that someone else that you're going to hire could be, will take the same amount of money that the first person was willing to take. Could be it's going to be more, could be it's going to be less. The point is that the people that did the first half of the job and then subsequently reneged, they're always going to be yadam ala tachtoina. So for example, if you hired someone to do a job for $100, they did 50% of the job. Okay, so they accrued $50 worth of work. And then they backed out of middle. Now you have to hire somebody else. If that other person to do the second half of the job is going to take $50, okay, so everybody's happy. What happens if the other person is going to want $60 to do the other half of the job? So what we say is that although the first chevra already accrued $50, but you agreed that this job was going to be done for $100, it's costing me $60 to get the second half of it done. So it's going to come off your cheshbon, you're going to only get $40. What happens if I can find someone to do the second half of the job for $40? So maybe these payalim are going to say, one second, you agreed to pay $100. We accrued $50. The other chevra are doing it for $40, so I want you to give me another $10. Nothing doing. The most you're going to get is $50. So that's what it means that the payalim that backed out, they're going to be yodam ala tachtoin. In balabayas, what if the balabayas is the one that backs out? So these people want to work. They're in the field, they're doing what they were paid to do. And now the balabayas backs out. So then the halach is yaday ala tachtoina. So then just flip the script. It's going to be yaday ala tachtoina. Kala mishana yaday al hatachtoina. So what does that mean that we didn't just say? So Rashi says this is talking about someone that gave for example, tzemer to a tzaba. He gave wool to a professional dyer. He told him, I want you to dye it red, and he ended up dyeing it black. So that's pashut. You don't have to pay the person full dollar for what it is that you hired him to do because he didn't do the job that he was supposed to do. He was a meshana. He made a shino. He changed what it is he was hired to do. Stating that, you do have to pay him. The reason you have to pay him is because he gave you something more valuable than you gave him. So what do you have to pay him? You give him the lesser of the amount of money that he had to invest his expenses associated with dyeing your beged black when really you wanted it red, or the increase in value that your tzemer now has because it's black as opposed to before it was dyed at all. So the meshana, the one that did the thing he wasn't supposed to do, he's yada al atachtoina. If this feels familiar, the Maseres Hasha says, Bava kama daf kuf beiz amaralav, this is very much an agoizolaitzim sugi, b'chala chayze ba yada al atachtoina, and simdritin mo. If somebody's chayze yada al atachtoina, and this already Rashi says, b'gemara mafarish lasu yemai, the Gemara is going to explain, why do you need to tell me this halacha three times? Either way, this first Mishnah gives us a little bit of a sense of what's coming now for the next week or so. Laws related to workers, people are backing out, people are not doing their job, they're backing out in the middle, you were hired for the day, you were hired to do the job, etc., etc. Either way, today's daf is going to focus on the first words of the Mishnah. Asaycher so umnin, vihitu ze eze, ein lohem ze al ze, elatarims. So somebody hired umnin, hitu ze eze, somebody fooled somebody, you would think the one that was fooled can now have some monetary claim against the person that fooled him. Zok the Mishnah, no. Ein lohem zeh al zeh, ela tairoimus. Tainus, that you could have. But more than tainus, that's something already that you're not able to have. Zok the Gemara. Chazru zeh bezeh loy ketani. A very, very subtle diak. The Mishnah didn't say, hasoicher es no umnin, the chazru zeh bezeh. Rather, what it said is, hasoicher es no umnin, ela hitu zeh zeh, which is mashma, says the Gemara, the atu poyalim ha'adadi. That the poyalim fooled each other. I mean, somebody hired Poyalim, and then the Poyalim fooled each other. So what's the Diyak? So Rashi says that in Hilchas grammar, if the Hitu Zeh Zeh was between the boss and the worker, it was between the Soicher and the Umnin, then the Lashon that would have been used was Chazru. As if to say, anytime there's some confusion or some Ta'os between Soicher and Umin, by definition, it constitutes a chazar. Think about that a little bit. But either way, the proper Lashon, if that's what was happening, would have been chazru. It's not what the Mishnah said. Mishnah said hitu, which seems like what's going on then in this Mishnah is not that there was something between the Umin and the Soicher, but rather the Umnin themselves, right? HaSoicher es Umnin v'hitu is a pronoun. What's it going back on? The hitu meaning the soicher and the umnin? No, the hitu mean the umnin themselves that were hired. They were the ones that were hitu zeze. They're the ones that fooled each other, says the Gemara. If that's the case, hey chidami, what exactly was this toast? So the Gemara says like this. Ida amalei balabayis zil oigali poilim is the case talking about where the balabayis told umnin, meaning he hired a pile, and he told him, I want you, meaning what's your job? He's working in human resources. His job is to go hire other people. Okay, so somebody tells a pile, zil eagerly pile him, go hire pile him. And he went, fatinu, he went and he fooled him. Meaning, that's l'churu, what happened? But the Gemara says, hey chidam, ita amalo balabayis barba. Is the case talking about where the balabayis told the pile, I want you to go hire someone for me and offer them for zuzim. Rashi says, l'yoyma, for the day. So it sounds like we're talking about a sacher yoyim. So after this elaborate introduction with Tosfos that umnin means a sacher or a kablin, if you go through the Gemaras, as promised, you'll see. Sometimes it's a kablin, sometimes it's a sacher, but we'll go with Rashi. So is it talking about where the balabayis told the pile that I want you to hire someone for me and offer him four zuzim for the day. And the poyo went, and he said, I have a job opportunity for you. You're not going to work for me. You're going to work for somebody else. And this person's willing to pay three zuzim. And they agreed, no problem. And then they found out afterwards that these poyolim, that really the balabayis was willing to offer four. He wasn't willing only to offer three. But they already agreed to three. What then is the Mishnah saying? Ein lohem zeh ala taroimus. That the poyalim that were hired can have tainas on the poyal that hired them, but only tainas. I mean, you have no chesh mishpat taina. You can't say that being that the Baal HaBayis was really willing to offer four, so I want you now to give me another zuz. Azoy vayt not, but taroimus, yeah. But the Gemara's kash is, if that's really what happened, that taroimus may avidate. Why do you even have a right to have taroimus? Sover v'kabel l'chayra, you agreed to three, and if you agreed to three, then that's what it is. In other words, when the Mishnah says Ein lohem zeh al zeh ela taroimus, it sounds like there's some schus, there's some real bona fide taina that you have a right to have. As if you ba'aveled me on some level, and because you ba'aveled me on some level, so it's for that reason I have a right to have tainas. The Gemara at this point, the Gemara is going to be chayzer later, but the Gemara at this point thinks that at the end of the day, it's true the Baal HaBayis was willing to pay four, and this guy said three, but if you were mekabel three, so nobody really fooled you. Yeah, klapi shmaya galio, could be you could have gotten a fourth. But did you really fool me? You didn't fool me. You said three. I'm getting paid three. I agreed to the three. So based on that, why do I even have a right to have tyroidness? Meaning, I understand why it doesn't have a chayshe mishpatayna. That part of the Mishnah is moving. But the Mishnah says that you could have tyroidness. Why should you be able to have tyroidness? And the more, so that can't be the case, right? Now, maybe the case is, but the Baal HaBayis said, I'm willing to offer three zuzim for the day. Va'azal iyo, he went. Amalu barba, and he told these workers that you should know this person is willing to pay for zuzim. So the Gemara says, okay, hey Chidami, let's work through this case a little bit better. Is the case talking about where this poil, when he hired the poilim, said that I have a job for you, I'm going to pay, I'm covering it, I'm going to pay four zuzim for you to do this job for the day. Now really, these poilim weren't going to be working for the poil, they were going to be working for the Baal HaBayis, who had offered to pay how much? Three. He didn't offer to pay for. What we're saying is that Ein lohem zeh al zeh ela taroimus. But the Gemara's kasha is that if that's really what happened, then nasav luhum adedeh. Then the halacha is that this poel that hired these umnin for four zuzim actually have to pay for zuzim. Now it's a chiddush because they're not working for him. They're really working for somebody else. And the job that they're going to do in somebody else's field. But at the end of the day, if this poel hired them and promise schar chamalai on my cheshbon, I'm going to give you four zuzim, then they have a responsibility to give four zuzim, and it's based on a price. Tiny relating to the price. Soichas apoyel lasis b'shaloi. If somebody hires a poyel to do work ostensibly for him, but then when he took him to the job site, he didn't take him to his own field. He took him to his friend's field. So the halach is noisily schar mishal. If you hired and you said I'm going to take responsibility, you have to pay him. Now, the truth is that they just did work for somebody else for free. Right, you wake up in the morning and you have gardeners gardening your field. You never hired these people. Believe it or not, you have to pay the gardeners. Something you have to give them. And what's the halacha? You have to give them the hana that you got. Right? This is the sugya of if someone's yoyer lo toich sada chaveh shaloi b'shos, where you have to give the person the amount of value, the amount of hana that he gave you. So in the case when somebody hires a poyel and he says, I'm going to pay you, and then he does the work, the poyel, in somebody else's field. So the halacha is the one that hired has to pay the full price of whatever it is he hired him to do. Meaning you promised him a certain amount, you have to give it. Then you, the hirer, can go to the Baal HaBayis and you can get reimbursed the Dmei Hana. You can't get reimbursed for full dollar amount. Now, if that's the Dmei Hana, then you will get paid full dollar amount. But it's not the same metric. The way it works is you have to pay the poyel what you promised to pay, and you can get reimbursed whatever hana the beneficiary of this work got. But what's the point? The point is that if there was a Baal HaBayis that told the poyel, go hire workers for me, and I'm willing to pay three zuzim, and then the workers went, and they offered four zuzim, and they took the job. And the poyel, when he offered four zuzim, he said, Olai, I'm willing to take responsibility for it. Well, then the halach is, it's a mefurish b'raisa, you have to give the four. Now, you'll be able to go back and get three from the one that hired, because it sounds like that's the demand. No, that's what he was willing to pay. But at the very least, you're going to be responsible. What does the Mishnah say? Ein lohem zeh al zeh ela taroimus. So, if Ein lohem zeh al zeh ela taroimus, zoi soy meres, that can't be the case. So the Gemara says, Leitzricha, you have to say, the case was as follows. Doma lohu, he told them, Schorchem al Baal HaBayis. He said that I was hired by someone to hire workers. The Baal HaBayis is willing to pay four zuzim, when really what the Baal HaBayis said he was willing to pay was three zuzim. In this case, all they're going to get from the Baal HaBayis is three. The Poel himself doesn't have to pay the fourth Azuz. Why not? Because he never said Scharchem Alai, stating that, being that they signed up to work for four, and all they're getting paid is three, they have a right to have Taroimus on the Poel that hired them. And that is what the Mishnah is referring to. So again, HaSoichres Umne V'Hitu Zeh is talking not about where the Soicher fooled the Umin or the Umin fooled the Soicher. How do we know that? Because it doesn't say Chazru. What it says is Hitu. Rather, what happened to a Poyalim that were mad to each other? What was the case? The case was with the Baal HaBayis, the Soicher, hired someone, a Poyal, to go hire Umin, to go hire these other Poyalim. And that was the Hitu Zeh. What was the case? So the Gemara worked it through a little bit. Was the case where the Soicher said, I'm willing to pay four, meaning the Baal HaBayis, and then the Poyal only offered three. And there was a Hatah, because they're going to end up getting one Zuz less. And on that, the Mishnah says, Ein lam zelza ela tayroimus. The Gemara says, I think that's dead on arrival. And the reason I think that's dead on arrival is because Safar V'Kibo, being that they agreed to three, even though they could have, would have, should have gotten four, that's not enough for Taroimus. Again, the Gemara is going to be chosen from that, because you could hear why that would be grounds for Taroimus. But right now the Gemara says, no, that can't be the case. Elamai, the case was, where the Baal HaBayis was willing to pay three, the Poyal went, and he offered four. Now, the Gemara just clarified. If it's talking about what the Poyal said, Scharchem Alai, so then they will get four. It's not just going to be Taroimus that they have. They actually have a Schus to get the fourth Zuz, because it's a Mefurash HaBraisna. If you hire someone, even to do a job by somebody else, you're Achra. You could get reimbursed the Dmei Hanah from the beneficiary, but at the end of the day, you're responsible to give the full dollar amount. The case is where, again, the Baal HaBayis was willing to pay three. The Poyal went, and he offered four. He offers an extra zuz. He didn't say man cheshbin. He said zan cheshbin. And now the person says, "What's going on over here? I never offered a fourth, so they're only mechuyif to pay. The Baal HaBayis only has to pay three. The soicher never said a lie. He doesn't have to pay the fourth. But at the same time, these poilim, when they took the job, they were sava v'kibel for what? For four. And being that they were sava v'kibel for four, ein lamazel ze el taroimis. They do have a right to have tarims, but the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, "V'lechsi poyalim heichi miskari." So, what do these words mean? So, the Rishonim say that I think the way you have to view this case is as if the poyal really didn't do his job, meaning he high level did his job, but he didn't really do his job. His job was go hire workers for three zuzim, and he went and he hired workers for four zuzim. Right, made his job a lot easier. You know, got home early. It was, you know, much simpler than he thought it was going to be. Yeah, you offer enough money, then it's not going to be hard to fill vacancies. But the point is that this person really didn't do his job. And the reason he didn't do his job is because he was hired for three, ended up doing four, right? It's like a litkuni shidartich v'loy lavusi. If that's the case, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, I am ben Amukah Yosef, l'chura, what we, I think, need to do is we have to really throw out this entire shlichus. What this poyal did, you almost have to disregard because he didn't do what he was paid to do. What then do you have to ask yourself? What you have to ask yourself is, what is the going rate for this job? What is the Dmei Hanah? And whatever that is, l'chura, that's what these poyalim should get paid. So the Gemara's cash is, v'lechsi poyalim heichi miskari. Let's take a look at what poyalim usually get, and it's based on that they should get paid. And that should be the beginning of the end of the whole story. Meaning, if poyalim get paid three, they should get paid three. If poyalim get paid four, they should get paid four. Why is there even taroimus? I don't think there should be taroimus. At the end of the day, the Gemara's cash is, whatever it is that they're supposed to get paid, that's what they should get paid, and that should be the beginning and the end of the whole story. Right? Rashi's Lashon, very important. The miskari b'shloisha, in the event that the going rate is three, my taroimus, I don't even think they should be able to have taroimus. So to answer this question, the Gemara is going to give three mahalchim. It's just mitzias. The Gemara says, loy tzricha, number one, the ikka de mega barbav, ikka de miskar b'tlas. So the mitzias was where there were some people that got paid three, there's some people got paid four. Meaning, you want to know, is the number three, is the number four? Some got three, some got four. The unrule, they could say, lav da amrulam barba, tarchinu miskarim barba. Meaning, we agreed to four because we thought we were getting paid four. Now, turns out we're getting paid three. I would have never taken this job. What do you mean we're never taking this job? The going rate is three. It's not true. The going rate sometimes is three. The going rate sometimes is four. And as a result, you can't say what's the going rate and that's what they should get paid, because there's two going rates. It's three or four. If you try hard enough, You might get lucky, you'll get a job where you're getting 4 zuz for the day. If you don't, maybe you're only going to end up getting paid 3. But being that it goes both ways, just let's think this through. So from the standpoint of the Baal HaBayis, he offered 3, and there are those that get paid 3, so you can't charge him more than 3. These chevra have a right to have taroimus, because even though the going rate is 3, but they could always say that we could have gotten 4. Now, we would have had to work a little bit harder, but at the same time, being that there is a going rate of 3, the Baal HaBayis doesn't have to give more than 3. There's also a going rate of 4, so they could say we would have found another job where the Baal HaBayis was willing to give 4. It's for that reason they can't get the 4th, but they have taroimus on the 4th. Another way you could say this is Ach Baal HaBayis Haskin. It's talking about with these workers really with Baal HaBatim. Meaning these people had their own fields. They used to work their own fields, but at the same time, if somebody made them an offer they couldn't refuse, they would go work in somebody else's field as well. The Amrle, they say, Elav da Amrlam Barba, had you not offered us 4, have a zilam ba milsa las gure. It would have been a bazillion for us to work in somebody else's field, considering we're egging a Baal HaBatim. The only reason I agreed to do it is because I was getting paid a 4th zuz. But had I not known that I was getting this 4th zuz, I would have never done it. And it's for that reason they have a right to have taroimus. Again, what's the kasha? If the going rate is 4, then the mamon of shach they should get 4. Elamai, the going rate is 3, and that's why they're only getting 3. So why do they even have a right for taroimus on the 4th? The teretz is because they wouldn't have done it. Had they not thought they were getting 4, that's where the taroimus comes in. Iba Yisema, a third way you could explain this is the Oilam B'Poyla Maskinam. Could be it's talking about where they were Poyla, not Baal HaBatim, and the going rate is 3, which is why they only get 3. If that's the case, why do they have a right to have taroimus on the 4th? The Amri Lekos, they could say, Kivin the Amri Bambar Ba, because being that you said we were getting paid 4, meaning we thought we were getting paid a little bit more, Tarchina Vavdinan Avidita Shapirta, we did a better job. And we put an extra effort, we did a better job, and because we did a better job, so therefore, I think we should get paid for that. Now, I have no way to get paid, but at the very least, taroimus, that's something I should have a right at. But the Gemara says, meaning, what do you mean we did a better job? Is it quantifiable? So if it's quantifiable, then maybe they should get paid. Meaning, at the end of the day, they're getting paid based on the hana that they gave the Baal HaBayis. Usually the going rate is 3. If there's such an idea that if you do such a good job, you're going to get paid a little bit more, okay, so lamazay. Tachlis, show it to us. And if they taka did it, then they should get paid. And if not, then why do they have taroimus? So the Gemara says, it's talking about where the job was berifka. So what's berifka with a fey? Shachafru charet zvi v'sadeh. It's talking about where they dug a ditch around the field. The ein malachton nikeres. And it's such a malacha where it's very hard to know if it's a good job or not a good job. The Gemara says, nachu rifka nami meida yada. You can tell if it's the rifka that came out good or not. So the Gemara says, the malimaya. It's talking about where it's already filled with water, v'loyedia, and at this point, it's not possible anymore to know what's going on. Either way, chazru loiktani, elohitu, balkarchak, it's talking about where the umnin fooled each other. Somebody hired an umnin to hire umnin, and he fooled him. It says the Mishnah, ein lamzal zeh elotaroimus, what was the case? The case was where somebody hired someone to hire umnin for 3 zuzim for the day, and this person that was hired, this payel, went on his own, and he said that this Baal HaBayis is willing to pay 4. He didn't say, I'm going to pay the 4. He said, the person that hired me is willing to pay 4. And when they did the work, and they showed up by the Baal HaBayis to get paid, they found out that he wasn't willing to pay 4. Really, all he was willing to pay was 3. So what's the halacha? The Baal HaBayis only has to give the 3. The person that hired them is not chayev b'dinei adam to give anything additional, but at the same time, if they want to have kindness, that's something they would have a right to do. The Gemara says, I understand, shouldn't we just disregard the whole shlichus and take a look at the underlying value of the work that they provided, and if it's 3, they should get 3, if it's 4, they should get 4, but the point is, taroimus may avidite, why should they even have a right to have taroimus? And the Gemara gave 3 explanations for why there would be taroimus. Says the Gemara, Ibayisema, but there's a whole nother way that you can understand the Mishnah. Again, it's talking about where somebody hired a pile to hire workers, and that person that was hired fooled the workers that he are. What was the case? So in the first Mahalach, the case was 3 and they offered four. La'olam was just the opposite. The Amalei Balabayis barba. Va'azaliu Amalei Batasa. The case is talking about where the Balabayis was willing to offer four. And he went and he said that the Balabayis is willing to offer three. Now that was the Gemara's initial stab at this whole inyan. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, if that's what's going on over here, why is the Taroimus? Udika Amrit suffered the Kabbal, right? They were Makabal. If they were Makabal to work for three, why do they have a right to have Taroimus? Again, what's the case? The case of Balabayis says, I'm willing to pay four. And this shliach went, and he said the Balabais is willing to pay three. And they agreed, no problem, yeah, I'm happy to go to work. Then they found out the Balabais was really willing to pay four. That's enough to have tyroimus? Who said that should be enough to have tyroimus? So the Gemara says, the Amri lay, les lach al timna toiv mi ba'alav. Because they have a right to say, don't you hold it a pasuk of al timna toiv mi ba'alav. So this is a pasuk in Mishle. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra maskal al timna toiv mi ba'alav pasuku b'mishle. But either way, al timna toiv mi ba'alav, that you shouldn't withhold anything good from somebody, and being that these people could have gotten four, and instead they got three, so it comes that you violated something, you did something wrong, and based on that, there was a violation of al timna toiv mi ba'alav, and that's why they have a right to have tainus. The Rishonim all ask that the taroimus, that the umdin have a right to the poel, is based on the fact that they violated, the poel violated al timna toiv mi ba'alav. Why? Because he could have gotten four instead he got three. Now the truth is, the poel was over al timna toiv mi ba'alav from the standpoint of the umnin. But every dollar that he costs the umnin is a dollar saved for the balabayas. So why are you looking at it from the standpoint of the umnin and saying that he was over al timna toiv mi ba'alav? My chazit, the damach didach samachtvei, duma damach didi samachtvei. Maybe look at it from the standpoint of the balabayas, and from the standpoint of the balabayas, it's different. So the Rishonim say that you have to say that being that the balabayas already committed, he said that he was willing to pay four, so now there's no mitzvah to save him a dollar. Meaning, he said that he's willing to pay. He was a sover of a kibbel for sure. He said, I'm willing to pay four. So he's saving him a dollar? That's not al timna toiv mi ba'alav. He signed off on it. If you have someone that's looking for work and he didn't agree to anything yet and he's trying to do as best as he could to support his family, so adrabah, you give him more. Why would you give him less? The Balabayas, who signed off on it, he signed off on it already. But in terms of the poel who didn't sign off, there it's already different. But Rabbeinu Yonason, one of the Rishonim, he says a different shot. He says that when you look at al timna toiv mi ba'alav, and you have an opportunity right now to save a dollar for the balabayas or to save a dollar for the poel, you should save the dollar for the poel. And the reason is the balabayas, he owns the field. He's probably a gvir. The poel is somebody that's working for somebody else. He probably needs the money more. And in Hilchis, al timna toiv mi ba'alav, says Rabbeinu Yonason, what seems to be a chiddush nifla, and that is, no, you better save the money for the ani. Why are you saving the money for the gvir? The money's going to go further in his pocket than it is in his pocket. He cares more. And in Hilchas al timna toiv mi ba'alav, it's true, you got your balabayas an extra dollar, but we're not concerned with him so much. We're concerned more with the other guy, meaning we're looking out for the underdog, and we'd rather him get this extra dollar. Sounds a little bit of a chiddush, but I looked up the pasuk in Sefer Mishlei. If you look up this pasuk, it's Perek Gimel, pasuk of Zayin. Al timna toiv mi ba'alav b'yois le'el yod chalasas. So all the Rishonim come out. Rashi. Al timna toiv mi ba'alav im ra'isa chavercha chofetz lehetiv la'aniyim al timna eil. If you see your friend, he wants to help aniyim, don't stop him from helping the aniyim. Radak. Al timna toiv mi ba'alav ma'ir b'nei adam al matnas ha'aniyim shelo yimna adam oisa kishiyesh b'yod yechaydos la'asoysa. If you can help an other man, then don't hold back. You should help the other man. There's a pirish harit in the Mekoris Gedolus Mishlei. Al timna toiv mi ba'alav ze medaber al atztoko. The korei ba'alav ha'oni ha'roi l'kabalah. Cannot all the Rishonim say that this inyan of al timna toiv mi ba'alav is talking specifically about an ani? So it's not stam the underdog. The nekuda is that the posik of al timna toiv mi ba'alav is to look out for an ar man. It's not a general v'yahavtu l'reacha kamoicha, look out for people. It's to look out for an ar man. So if the nekuda over here is to look out for the Araman, so it's very moven. It's very moven why we would be more deferential to the poyel than we would be to the balabayas, the person that owns the field. That's the first ara. The second ara is that learning a mishnah asoiches umnin vehitu zeze ein lehem zealze elotaroimus. If you want to have tainus, you could have tainus, but more than tainus, that's not something you could have. And we just learned the whole gemara. Why could you have tainus? Mechtesa, you could have tainus. Yedua, that Saul Salanta said that you see from here that to have tainus on a person is not a hefkevel. You can't just walk around at people and have tainus. If you have a schus to have tainus, you can have tainus. But stop to have taroimus in the Welt Torah, it's a Shulchan Aruch. You could have taroimus, you can't have taroimus. Meaning, just like it's understood that in Hilchas Chayish Mishnah, you can't just go over to somebody and say, Mamoini Gabach. No, you have to have a schus. Hamoitzi Mechaveri Olivaraya, Abov Is Nazikin. You have sugyas in Shulchan Aruch, Simonin, in Chayish Mishnah, but in terms of when you could have a schus moment to be able to take money from someone. The same is true in Hilchas Taroimus. That it's not a hefkevel. You can't just have taroimus. Amol yeh, amol nish, elam zeh al zeh, ela taroimus bilvad. There's a sefer, it's called Likutei Shoshanim. The mechaber, the sefer is Reb David Neumann Shlita. So the sefer is on Perek HaSoicher Esomnin. So this is an entire sefer on HaSoicher Esomnin. Reb David Neumann is a well-known mechaber sfarim here in Shtad. He wrote Masechtas Nida. He came out recently with two volumes on Agunis. He's written on Shabbos, on Beya. It's a beautiful, beautiful sefer. And right here, the first shtickle, so he brings this well-known vart, B'Shem Rabbi Sol Salanta, that it's not a hefkevel, it's stam to have taroimus, and stam to have tainas on a person. So he's mitzadded a little bit. What's takipshat? So there's an issue, you can't have tainas on someone. I mean, you can't, if someone did something and you decided you're going to have tainas on him. I don't know, maybe you could have tainas, maybe you can't have tainas. Not a hefkevel. What's the isser to have tainus? What's the isser to have taroimus on a person? So he says that the pashtus, you would think, I mean, where does it say in the Torah you can't have tainus on someone? So he says, his muscho rishon was that it's mitzvah resh membeis. The mitzvah is loisitar. So, we're familiar with nekama. That's the isser of loisikoim. And there's also an isser of loisitar. Right, so what's loisikoim? It was last parasha. So nekama is where you go over to your friend, will you lend something to me? He says, no. And then he comes back to you, will you lend it to me? He says, well, you don't lend it to me. He says, I'm not lending it to you. Loisitar is where the person says, faker. He says, a whole shtickle tari. Even though when I came to you, you don't want to lend it to me, but I'm a different kind of guy, I'm going to lend it to you. So that's also what. So what's the nekuda? What is the aside of that isser of shaloi linter? So says the chinuch, kolonya, shenimna anu, the aside is what that guy is doing wrong. It's not even what he's saying. It's what he's feeling. Meaning, he's really upset. He has a grudge. He has tainus. He says, when I came to you and I asked you if you'll give me your hacker, you said no. And now you're coming to me and you want my lawnmower? But you know what? I'm going to do it anyways. The problem is not his spiel. The problem is that obviously he has tainus. He's upset. That's the aside of the isser. Meaning, you're not allowed to have in your heart, Mashahar alonu echem Yisrael. So you think this guy ba'avled you, and now you're walking around with tainus. Avol pishen echosim. Shenaskim and avshe seinu shloilu shalom loigmul al maseinu. Afilu beschiras chetoi belev levat. Even if all you're going to do is you're going to dermanzach of what this person did in your heart, nimnonu, that's the iser. Valzeh nemer loy sitar. That's the aside of this loy sitar. So he said, l'chayr, at first glance, that is what taroimus is. It's mamish, the way the chinuch describes loy sitar. What's the problem with the loy sitar? The problem is what he's walking around in his hearts with. And that seems to be what the iser is. The question, however, he asks is, if that's the case, so what's takapshat in our Mishnah, for example, elam zel zeh ela taroimus? Now all of a sudden you're allowed to have sinu? Right. If that's what taroimus is, and that's what Yisrael's vart, that you, it's not a hefkevel, you can't just walk around and have tainas on someone. It means every time you have tainas on someone, you're over loisitar. That's what it sounds like. You're being over in Nisadei Raisa. If you're being over in Nisadei Raisa, why now all of a sudden, if somebody ba'avels you a shtickle, would it suddenly be okay? So he brings that the truth is that some Rishonim that say that the only time there's a Nisa loisitar is if somebody didn't really ba'avel you. I mean, what happened in the case of loisikim and loisitar? Somebody came to, you went to someone, you said, will you please lend me something? And he said, no. And then he comes back to you and you say, even though when I came to you, you said, no, I'm going to say, yeah. What did that person do? What that person did, he didn't punch you in the nose, right? He didn't steal from you. He wasn't mative to you. He had an opportunity to do you a favor and he didn't do you the favor. Over there, where all you're upset about is some menias arevach, some menias atoiv, you're not even allowed to feel it in your heart. If, however, a person would physically ba'avu you, so then Rishonim say it could be there it's mutter, and there you're allowed to have that feeling inside you. If that's the case, that's what's going on in our sugya. We're trying to dan, is it considered that he ba'avled you? Is it not considered that he ba'avled you? And if that's the case, there would be a little bit of a mahalach in terms of understanding what's going on. Meaning the iser of tyroimus that Rabbi Saul Salanta was referring to is the iser lo yisita. And what's the noise over here? The noise over here is do we look at it as if he ba'avled you in a proactive way, or all it was like a mavriach hari, it was a minias harevach, it was a minias atoy. If it's a minias atoy, so for that you have the issa loisita, that's your classic loisita. If, however, we look at it as if he proactive ba'avon you, then it's going to be a problem. He says the only issue with this is that really it's a big machloikis rishonim, and he brings from the Chafetz Chaim in his sefer where he's very mairuch with these different rishonim as it relates to loisita. Is it in fact mutter for a person to feel that sinner, to have the loisita if somebody ba'avels him or not? According to some Rishonim, yeah. According to other Rishonim, not. So according to the Rishonim, not. It's going to be a little bit. It's going to be a little bit trickier. One ha'ara that he does say, and that is, what does the lashon taroimus even mean? Meaning, what's this lashon taroimus? So he brings that we had a gemara on daf nun beis amud beis in Perek Hazav. It was a Rashi, Dibra Maskel, Im L'chassid. So the context over there is not important. But listen to Lashon Rashi. Im L'chassid, Kamar, Diyesh Loi Taroimus Ala Machzer. Mi Koyfeo L'Kabel She Yisra'el. Toiv Loi Shloi Yikablenu, Me She Yikablenu V'yoytzi Diba Al Chaveira. Rashi over there was describing a Taroimus, and Rashi says, what is this person that have Taroimus going to do? He's going to be Moitzi Diba Al Chaveira. Sounds a little bit like when you say Yeshlam Taroimus, you know what it means? It means you're allowed to walk around, even allowed to talk about it. It's like a Hilchos Lashon Hara thing. Taroimus means you can be Maitzi Diba. Another tzushtel he brings is there's a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kehanim did Avodah, so they would stop the Krishma, and when they would say Krishma, they would also read the Aseres HaDibros. So the Gemara says, Ram Nassan said, the Gvulin Bikshu Likros came. They wanted that in the Gvulin, every Yid in the morning, Pamayim Bahava, when we say Krishma, we should also say the Aseres HaDibros. Eloshek Kvar Bitlum, Mepnei Taroimus Aminim. But they stopped it because of the Taroimus Aminim. So if you look at Rashi, meaning, what does it mean, Pashup Shat, Taroimus Aminim? That the Minim, that because I'm not going to say that the reason they're saying the Aseres HaDibros, because the only thing that a Jew needs to do is he has to keep the Ten Commandments. As Shapsoi Say Tishmoiru, Ishim Evavavavtiro, and Yasham Lekechem, right? That's what you're going to say. And that's what we're coming to Bavar. But listen to Rashi's Lashon. Mibnei Taroimus Aminim, Shelo Yoimru, La Amiya Oretz, In Shar Taira Emes. Vetedu, Shein Kairin, Ela Shma Shama, Kodesh Baruchu, Vishomu Pimmi Sinai. What's Taroimus Aminim? Shelo Yoimru, they shouldn't say. He's mitzadeh that maybe the Indian of Taroimus is not just feeling something, but you're actually talking about it. Either way, Ayin Shom, it's the first shtickle in the Sefer, Lekutei Shoshan, Zokta Gemara Fayt. Pshit. Yomalei Balabayis Betlasa, if the Balabayis would tell a pile, go hire workers for me and offer 3 zuz. Va'oz Aliyu, and he goes, Ma'amala Arba, and he offered 4. Va'amri Lei, and the pile, and when they heard this offer, they said, no problem, Kamosh Amal Balabayis. We're willing to accept, but the lashon that they used was, not yes, but, this is very nuanced, we're willing to do whatever the Balabayas said. So again, the Balabayas had offered 3. He went, and he offered 4. And they said, I do, based on what the Balabayas said. Now, the one piece of color that you have to add to this is the going rate was 3. I ain't been Marsha. That was the going rate. So the going rate over here was 3. The Balabayas said 3. And when the Poyel made the offer, he offered 4, and they said, we'll take what the Balabayas said. So the Gemara says, it's Poshit, that Daitayu A'iluya. That what they meant to say was, they meant to say 4. I mean, even though they said Kamosh Amar Balabayas, what does it sound a little bit like? It sounds like, how much are they agreeing to? It sounds like they're agreeing to 3, because that's what the Balabayas said. But we don't assume that that's what they meant. But rather, what we assume they meant is we want 4. They said Kamosh Amar Balabayas. So Rashi says, we attach that what they're saying is that I trust you that the Balabayas probably said 4. If you're saying 4, I'm assuming that's what happened. And if that's the case, we're agreeing to 4. Now, what happens? Let's just chazer now. When they do their job and they go to the Balabayas and they say, okay, where's 4? Kamosh Amar Balabayas. The Balabayas says they only offered 3. So what's the halacha going to be? Again, Balabayas offered 3. The Poyel said 4. They said whatever the Balabayas said, which means they agreed to 4. So what's the halacha? So it's really chazar of the first part of the daf. It depends. If the Poyel said Scharcham Alai, he's going to owe them the fourth. And if the Poyel didn't say Scharcham Alai, that's the halacha of the Mishnah and the first Ibayasema. Einlam Zalze, Elotaroimus. Either way, but that the Gemara says is Pashit. That even though they said Kamoshama Balabais, and the Balabais really only said three, they meant to accept four. Because they don't mean whatever the Balabais said, but they mean that we trust that the Balabais said what you said. Right, and just to visualize this a little bit better, they're a little taken aback. You're offering me four. I know the going rate is three. Okay, I trust you that the Baal Bayis, for whatever reason, wants to overpay a little bit. And based on that, we're going to accept that offer. But what's not poshut, says the Gemara, Eliyahu, I'm the Baal Bayis barbo, what would be if the Baal Bayis said four? V'azaliyu v'amaluhu betlasa. And then this pile went, and he offered three. V'amri le kamasha am Baal Bayis. And they said that we're willing to take what the Baal HaBayis said. Again, the going rate was three. The Baal HaBayis, however, was really offering more. He was offering four. And then the Poyel went, he was over al timna toid mi balav, but the Poyel went, and he really offered three. And they said, yeah, whatever the Baal HaBayis said, we're agreeable to. So says the Gemara, this is already not posh. I'm not sure what the halach is. What are the two tzadim? Adi bure didekos amchi. Do we say that they're being soimich on what the Baal HaBayis, on what the shliach is saying? The amrle, they tell the shliach, mehem nislam, the hochi amr al-bayis. I trust you, this is what the Baal HaBayis said, and if that's the case, what did they just agree upon? They just agreed to do the work for three. Oidilma adibur de balabayas kasamchi. Or when they say kemosha amar balabayas, what they're doing is they're taking a little shot now. And what they're saying is, you know what? I understand you're offering me three, and I know the going rate is three, but maybe the balabayas really was offering four. You never know. Apparently these characters were floating around. So if you're taking a job and there's a middleman offering it to you, you may want to anticipate that. So when they said, maybe they're cheshbening that the Baal HaBayis really offered more, and based on that, they really want to accept more. So if the offer that's being made to them is more than the going rate, for sure they're not foregoing that extra. So the Baal HaBayis offered three. The going rate is three. And now the shliach says four? Oh, and when they say k'macha on the Baal HaBayis, they're not negotiating against themselves. Why would they say, you know what, I don't know about four. I'm assuming the Baal HaBayis said three, I mean three. Right, no Meshuggah would do that. So for sure they meet the four. And the Gemara says that's pshita. And all these complex sugyas, that's obvious. The question is where it's fakir. Where they said Kamosha Amar Baal HaBayis regarding the going rate. Did they anticipate that maybe the Baal HaBayis really offered more? And if that's the case, they really want four. Or maybe no. Being that they said Kamosha Amar Baal HaBayis, they mean what it means in the first case. I trust you that the Baal HaBayis is offering three. And all they agreed to is three. But either way, says the Gemara, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya. Now, this is like a real far-fetched raya, meaning Mimerchak Tovi Lachma. Not far-fetched that it's not a good raya, but we're fetching it from afar. But the bottom line is from a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. So the Mishnah discusses as follows. Hovali Giti, a woman goes over to a man and says, will you please be a shliach for me to bring me my get? Go to my husband, tell my husband, I want a get, and please bring the get for me. Now, we know that a man can make a shliach loy lacha. Maybe get Mibdina Sayyam, Tsarch Shiyoimra, Bafana Nechta, Bafana Nechta. A woman can make a Shliach la Kabbalah. What's the Nafkamina? Shliach la Hilacha. So the Shliach is now in lieu of the husband. When is the Gerish and Chal? It's Chal when the get is delivered. A Shliach la Kabbalah, as soon as the Shliach accepts the get at that point, the Gerish and is Chal. But the man makes the Shliach la Hilacha. The man doesn't have the authority to make a Shliach la Kabbalah. The woman makes the Shliach la Kabbalah. She doesn't have the authority to make a Shliach la Hilacha. In this case, the woman told the Shliach, Havali Giti, please be a Shliach la Hilacha. Which means, says Rashi, go tell my husband, I would like you to divorce me and make you the shliach leilacha. But the husband has to sign off on it. If the husband doesn't sign off on it, then, right, doesn't work. Because she is not in a position to be able to make the shliach leilacha. But either way, so this man now arrives by the husband, and he distorted the story a little bit. He said, v'ishtacha amra, your wife said, hiskabe ligiti, that I should be a shliach lekabal. So she told him, go be a shliach leilacha. And then he said, yo, your wife said I should be a shliach lekabal. To make things a little bit more confusing, the husband said, hey, look, whatever she said, this is what I want. Yeah, I'm agreeable 100%. I want to do it exactly the way she said. So what's the halacha? I feel like you get liyata. Even if she gets the get, meaning it comes to her in a megureshes, the halacha is she's not megureshes. In other words, this shliach is not a shliach of Kabbalah, that's for sure. Also not a shliach loyalacha. The shliach is not a shliach at all. So again, she told the shliach be a shliach loyalacha. The shliach said, I was hired to be a shliach l'kabbalah. The husband said, whatever she said, I'm agreeable. What do you end up with? You end up with nothing. Says the Gemara, what do you see from here? Shamet mina adibur didei kasamach. When he said that very ambiguous phrase of Helech Kamasha Amra, what he obviously meant was that I trust you, and whatever it is that you said, that's what I'm going along with. And it's for that reason that nothing happened. Why did nothing happen? Because he said Shliach LeKabbalah, which means that when the husband gave the get, he gave it to him as if he was a Shliach LeKabbalah. The Shliach can't be a Shliach LeLacha, why not? He never made him a Shliach LeLacha. He can't be a Shliach LeKabbalah, why not? Because she never made him a Shliach LeKabbalah. And as a result, you end up with nothing. If it's Adibur Didei Kasamich, I understand this halacha. And the Gemara fleshes it out. Because if you're going to tell me that when he gave it and said, Hey, L'Kamasha Amra, he didn't mean what the Shliach said she said. But what did he mean? He meant what she really said. Now, what did she really say? Havaligiti, be a shliach leilach. If that's the case, then when the husband gave it to the shliach, he essentially made him a shliach leilach. So what's the kasha? I understand that the minute the shliach gets to get the gerushin is nachal. Aber mechimati gitul the other miyati garish. When she gets it, she should be megureshes al shliach leilach. Elamai. What do you see from here? That when a person uses this vague language and it's not obvious what he meant, and we have to try to figure it out, we assume, adibure didei kasamich, and whatever it is that the shliach said, that's what you're being samech on. So what's the parallel? The parallel is, so too, if somebody hires a pilot to hire umdin, and he says, yeah, kemosha amar balabayis, meaning you're trusting who? You're trusting the shliach. That's the nekuda. We're assuming that whatever the shliach says, that's what you're going along with. The Gemara says, amar avashri, avashri said, hachi hashto. Is this really a tzushtel? It's not a tzushtel. Why? Bishloima, a little bit of a cheshbin. Bishloima, it my ipcha. Bishloima, if the halacha of Rav would have been a fakert halacha, meaning as follows. Skabali giti, where the woman told the shliach, I want you to go be a shliach kabbalah for me. Now, when this shliach arrived by the husband, the shliach distorted the facts. What did he say? The ishtacha amra habali giti. The shliach told the husband that your wife said, I should be a shliach loilacha. And the husband would say, Helech Maish Amra. Now, this is not the case. The case was, Havili Giti, and the shliach said, Ishnecha Amra Hiskabili Giti. But says Rav Ashi, let's say the case would have been fakert, Rav's mem. It would have been Hiskabili Giti, the Ishnecha Amra Havili Giti, where the Isha said, be a shliach lekabbalah, and then she came. I'm sorry, he came to the shliach and said, your wife said I should be a shliach lohilach. V'hu oimen, the husband said, Helech Moshe Amra. V'amrav Nachman Amrav Rav Amrav. And then Rav would have said, Mishagia get liyadam igureshes, that the halach is that when the get arrives to the hand of the shliach migureshes, Amad adibur didakasamach. That would be a raya adibur didakasamach. Because if the minute the shliach gets the gerishin is chal, that means we're treating him like a shliach lo kabbalah, which is what the woman had really said, which is not what the shliach said. So you see, adibur didakasamach, right? You look at the Baal HaBayis, so to speak. You look at her. Inami, alternatively, if Rav's halacha would have been mishigia get liyadam migureshes, that when she gets to get the halachas migureshes, so Alma, what would you have seen from there, that when the husband says Helech Kamasha Amra, he means what the shliach is saying, she said. V'haraya, because we treat him not like a shliach kabbalah, which is what she really said, but rather like a shliach lohilacha, which is what he said, she said. Ela hasnam. But in that case, where Rav said, get it could be the reason enim agureshes is not because adibur didei kasamach, but rather it's mishum da'aka shliach l'shichus legamri. The reason is because the shliach was oiker his shlichus legamri. He's not a shliach at all. The amale, because essentially, what is he saying? The shliach lekabbalah havino, lahoilacha loy havino. Because it's much easier to be a shliach lekabbalah than it is to be a shliach lahoilacha. So if a woman says havili giti, what does it mean? It means go to my husband, get on a plane, go get the get, and bring it back to me. And only then will the gerushin be chal. And by the way, then you're a maybe get mevdina sayom could be, and maybe you have to say b'fanai nacht, it was a whole. You're now the noisin aget. If all you need to do is be a shliach lekabbalah, all you need to do is to receive the get, it's going to be much easier. When the shliach distorted what she said, meaning instead of havali giti, he said eskabali giti, the way we look at it is, we look at it as an akira in her shlichos. I'm not willing to do what it is you said. I only want to be a eskabali giti. It could be that's the reason I feel we get liyada in a magureshes. Because He, the shliach, said, I'm not willing to be a shliach leilacha. Meaning, it could be la'olam, he could have been a shliach leilacha. Because mitzad the isha, she said, be a shliach leilacha. And it could be mitzad the noise, when he says, hey, l'kamasha amra, doesn't mean misha amra shliach. Kamisha amra ha'isha. The reason, I feel like he'll get l'yada, ain't a begresh, is because... Not because the noisin didn't do what Adai Tadachi, because the shliach was like a shliach. Now, could be yeah, could be no. But Amir Rav Ashi, Hachi Ashi, have no raya. If you want to bring a raya from this case, then the story would have had to play itself out in one of the aforementioned reasons. In one of the aforementioned reasons, there you don't have any akira mitzad the shliach, but in this case, it's an akira mitzad the shliach, and because it's an akira mitzad the shliach, it's for that reason you can't prove anything from here. Either way, we're going to stop mid-sugya. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up from the words Ibayis Eima, which is going to be another mahalach in the Mishnah. Asoiches umnin lehitu zeh. So up until now we have two understandings of what those words even mean. Hitu zeh doesn't mean the soicher fooled the umnin or the umnin fooled the soicher, but rather the umnin fooled each other. What's the case? Someone hired a worker to hire workers, and there was some fooling. Something went on over there where there was a vehitu zeh. What's the halacha? Elam zel zeh, elo taraymis. The umnin that were fooled can have taraymis, but not more than taraymis. Have taraymis, which is a chiddush, like sita, it's not so posh, you can have taraymis. Or be elam zeh, elo taraymis. All you can have is taraymis. What was the case? 3, 4, 4, 3, I'll tell you all a bunch of different cases. A little bit of a recap on that. Be'ez Hashem at the beginning of tomorrow's daf. But as relates to raid, as promised, just to go back to a gemara that we learned at the end of Perek Ezeu Nashach. The Gemara said as follows: Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol mi sheyesh loy mois. Somebody has money, umalva oisan shloy ve'edim, and he lends the money to somebody, but there's no edim. Oiver mishum ve'lifnei iver loy sitei mechshol. He's oiver the iser ve'lifnei iver loy sitei mechshol. Why? Because you're giving the loyva an opportunity to maybe be koifer that this loan never happened. Ordinarily, if you borrow money and they're edim, so you can't be koifer because hamalves chaver be'edim, tzarech lepoyer be'edim. But to the extent that you're going to loan the money, shaloi be'edim, so now you're giving a pesach to the loiva to at some point deny, deny, deny. If somebody denies a loan, that's an aveira. If you're setting him up to do so, you've been goyver, but if neiver lo yisitei michshol. So it sounds like this person is a very good person. Kesef tal vezami is lending somebody money. Not im as in if, but im as in when. It's one of the three ims that mean you have to do it. Stating that, this person actually is doing a bad thing. He's being goyver, but if neiver lo yisitei michshol. Ish lakish amar, Ish lakish said, goyrim klal alatzma. That, you should know, if somebody does that, he's goyrim klal alatzma. Incidentally, a raid bite from last machzer, so we had a whole discussion whether Reish Lakish is being moisif on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav or he's being chaylik on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said, "Hamalva es chaveroi shaloi be'edim over mishum v'lifnei iver loisit emichshol." Reish Lakish said, "Goyrim klal atzmai." He didn't say af goyrim klal atzmai. He said goyrim klal atzmai. It's a big machloikus at Taisus Yontef and the Maram Shif. Ayin sham. In the raid bites or in the back of the Gemara, in terms of what exactly that machloekis says, and then the Gemara went and the Gemara told the story. Amalei Rabbanu Rav Ashi, the Rabbanon told Rav Ashi, "Kamekayim Ravina, koma da Amar Rabban." You should know your Talmud Ravina; he's mekayim everything that the Rabbanon said. Shalach lebehadi pani the malashapta. So Rav Ashi wanted to prove him; he wanted to give him a nesayin; he wanted to see if it's true. So it was Ben Ashmoshes Shabbos, and he sends the following message to Ravina: "L'shadali mara soru zuzi. Can you please send me 10 zuzim? Meaning loan me the money, this rami liktina da'ara, lemizbe, because I have an opportunity to buy a small piece of property and I need the money really quickly. Will you please lend me the money?" Now, Rav Ashi wanted to see if Ravino was going to violate this memra of Rav Yehuda Marab, which says, "Kol mi sheyesh loy mois umalva oisam shloy be'edim over mishum v'lifnei iver leisit emichshol." Reish Lakish said, "Goyim klal atzma." Either way, Ravino didn't fall for it. Shalach lei sent back to Nesi Mar Sahadi, "V'nichta tzava. Why don't you bring edim? And if you can bring edim, then I'll lend you the money. Shalach leis. And afilu ano nami, even me, I need edim. Shalach leis. He told him back. Kol shkeimai detar begir say mishli v'garim kol la'atzim. So somebody like you, you're so engrossed in your learning. Rabbi Reuven Margolis, like Rabbi Lazar, his sadin was in one part of Tzipayri and he's on the other part of Tzipayri. So certainly somebody like you, because of your diligence and learning, I'm even more concerned that you're going to forget about it. You're going to be koifer. I'm going to be garim kol la'atzmi, etc., etc. That was the Gemara. There's a tshuva in the Sefer Shailas HaTshuvas Torah Lishma, where he was asked the following question. I'll read the tshuva inside because it's just very interesting. Echad sheyesh lo mishras ben bayis bebeisai. There's someone that has a, today you would say a goita, but somebody has a worker, some person that works in this person's house. V'roitzen l'nasoysay be'inyin hanemonas. And the Baal Bais wants to see whether this Mishares is Erlich or not Erlich. So he had an idea. What he's going to do is, sheyashlich mois becheder echam v'chador. He's going to put money in one of the rooms. It's going to look like it wasn't put there b'kavana. It's going to be mois mefuzarois. And this person, the Mishares, is going to be cleaning the room, and all of a sudden there's going to be a $100 bill, and he wants to see, is the Mishares going to take the $100 bill, or is the Mishares not going to take the $100 bill? But azu shaleches ha-Mishares ahula oisei cheder sheyavi loy chayfetz, ubezei yirish im yignevein v'yikhen la'atzmei oisei yedesh uganev, he's going to know he's a bad guy, v'im yaviyem eilof, and if this person is going to bring it to him, oy lo yikach mem klom, or at the very least not touch it, oisei yedek hunem, right? Makes a lot of sense. One of the oldest tricks in the books, right? I'm going to put money. I'm going to set the person up like this. Let me see if this person's Erlich. Before I let this person become a little too heinish in my house, let me test her. Let me see if she's someone that I can trust. Oi, Yasam Tzacher. So he has another idea to try to figure out whether this payol, this Mishares, this Umin is an Eman. And that is, Yishlachim Meir Zuzim L'Chaver. He's going to send, quote unquote, 100 zuz to his chaver. He's saying, do me a favor, I have $100. He starts pulling out tens and twenties and fives and counts it up. Yeah, it's $100. Do me a favor. Please bring this $100 to my friend and, you know, make sure that you count it before you give it to him. In the meantime, he's going to give 110. And he wants to see whether he's going to come back and give him back the $10 or he's not going to give him back the $10. And he has other different patents, oh, very, very similar, where he wants to set this person up to try to figure out what this person is going to do. He says, I was misupik and mutal. Is this mutter or not? Because it's possible that this person is going to steal. And if he steals, it's what's going to emerge is that if you're setting up a person that you don't know if this person's erlich or not, and this person might steal, so you're over lifnei evil. So it sounds like such a good idea, right? Makes a lot of sense, very rational. But to say that could be you're not allowed to do it because it could be you being over lifnei evil. He says he said I had the same suffix. Are you allowed to set somebody up in a massive of Dvar Ervo? This is a shayla that he wanted to know. Tshuva. So he says like this. Now let it do. Ki shemo ze yavor v'yechta v'nim tzeze oivra alif ne'iva lo yisita mirchshol. Now let it do. Now when he speaks out his tshuva, he says, I'm saying a little bit of a chiddush over here. He says, because although we know that there's an idea of alif ne'iva lo yisita mirchshol, which means, right, what does alif ne'iva lo yisita mirchshol mean? So Pasha, what it means is, if there's an iver, someone literally is a sagi nar, he can't see, so don't put a mirchshol in front of him. But we know Rashi and Chumash doesn't that way, and the Rambam when he brings in Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's not the way he expresses the love, and the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't. And we've spoken out from the Mechas Chinuch, we have Fartiger Raid Bites on this, that it's Mavur that the Pshutai Shal Mikra of Alifnei Ivel Leisita Michal actually does not mean that. The Kutim, Rashi and Chul, and Daf Gimel Amar Aleph, Ramei Simcha, and Parashat, v'chulu used to teach it that way, but that's actually not the Pshutai Shal Mikra of Alifnei Ivel Leisita Michal. The Pshutai Shal Mikra of Alifnei Ivel Leisita Michal is don't set a person up to do an aver. But either way, says the Torah Lishma, that even though it's true there's an inyan of lifnei ivelei sita michshol, not to set a person up, but could be that's only if you know bevadai that the person is going to do an aver. But if all it is a suffix, maybe the person's going to do an aver, maybe the person's not going to do an aver, I don't know then if you have this for lifnei ivelei sita michshol, not to be machshon with bevad aver. Meaning, lifnei ivelei sita michshol, where I'm making a person do an aver. But love Dafka making the person do the Avera, right? In this Shaila, he's going to for sure steal the money. No, Alzeh Anudana, we're trying to figure out whether he's going to do the Avera or not. And being that, we're goofy trying to figure out whether he's going to do the Avera, so therefore it could be it's not Lifnei Yivalei Sita Michshol. So the Torah Lishma saying a Chiddush LaHalacha, he's saying that no. Right? That's the whole point of the truth. That I hold that for Lifnei Yivalei Sita Michshol doesn't have to be Bavadai. But Shema Yasa Avera, if all it is a suffix, that in and of itself is enough. And he has to back it up in this truva. So he goes on and he brings a few rayas. A few. First raya that he brings is from the Gemara Masechtas Moed Katan, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that Amsa Debei Rebbe, right? Rebbe had a famous shivcha, once put someone in nidui, and Chazal, they took that nidui very, very seriously, and they were noyig with the nidui of Amsa Debei Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Shivcha Chabais Rebbe Mahi. What was this story? Amsa Debei Rebbe Chazisa Lugavra Dahmi Machid Abnoi Gadol. Because Amsa Debei Rebbe once saw someone hit his older son. Amra, she said, Lahavi Hahu Gavra Beshamta. This person deserves to be in Shamta. The Ka'aver Mishon V'Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol. The Tanya Tzabraisa. V'Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol. B'Makel B'Nai Gadol HaKasim Medabit. Also Gemara Masechtas Kedushin. That if somebody hits B'Nai HaGadol, you're over V'Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol. Zok Rashi, why? Why if somebody hits B'Nai Gadol, is he over V'Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol? The Kivan the Gadol who, being that he's an adult, Shema, that's the emphasis, Shema Mevayit Ba'aviv, could be he's going to hit him back. So being that when you hit B'nai HaGadol, he might hit you back. And if that's the case, so it comes out, you are over V'lifnei Yiver, because you caused him to be Mak of Avima. Now, is it for sure that he's going to hit him back? Now, you might argue yes. But Rashi says no. Rashi says, to keep him the Gadol who Shema Mevayit Ba'aviv. It's only a suffix. Maybe that's going to happen. So what do you see? That even when it's only a suffix, that maybe something's going to happen, that's enough for it to be V'lifnei Yiver. I'll mention one other raya. Another raya, Zok Detayr Lishma. To this Shaila is from the Gemara that we just read. Because the Gemara says in Bava Metzio, Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beitz, Om Rav Yudam Arav, Kol Mishi Yesh Loi Mois, Umal Va'oisim Shaloi Be'edem Oiver Mishon V'lifnei Iver Loi Sita Michshol. Zok Rashi, why? She'oila Al Rucha Shaloi V'lichbar. Because you're giving this guy a Hava, meaning maybe to be Koifer. Now, could you say he's for sure going to be Koifer? No, it's not like taking a glass of wine and pouring it to the Nazar in a bar who's about to drink it. That's not what's happening over here. What's happening is maybe it's some point he may deny it, but you're giving him the opportunity to deny. And you see clearly from the Gemara in Maikot, and from this Gemara, he has another few rides as well, that the Lifna Evil Isita Michel doesn't have to be a Vadai. And if, even if it's a subject, it's a problem. So he says, your Hamtzah to set a person up to go maybe do an Aver, it's very nice, a great chap, but it's not Oiskalten in Halacha. And the reason is because if you do this, you're being over the Lifnei Iver Loisita Michshol, you're putting someone in a matzav of Nesai. But he says, if that's the case, Ivra, dihine l'chari yesh l'achar b'inyin zeh. The Lefiyah Amor, based on what I just said, him came, lo yim mutu l'adam lehevi adam lishma kamru b'iroisa. He says, why let a hire a shomer kishun? Why let a do that? Dekel ha-mechesh pen yignoiv mimenu. V'nimtsa dezeh machshiloi. V'chein nami lo yaniach misharis b'chanusai. You should be able to have a worker working in your store. Ubeisai, you're in your house. Pein yavai lignoiv midvar machshiloi noidam mishkolam u'minyonam. Hey, mine Michaelin Varmachem. The chain al derech ze beufend loishof gischai, the choberia. Veich eft shalomake. So he says, then why are you ever allowed to set somebody up to maybe do an avera? Right? A lot of things maybe should be usher if we're going to go with this mindset. So he says, Brahm, achra yishuv nira de zeim. So I thought about it a little bit and realized it's a mistake. The vadai, that's poshit, bestam adam. Anachnu soimchen al cheskosoi, shu yisrael kosher. The cheskos yisrael lo yasuaf. And a regular person, you don't have to assume you can't hire someone to be in your store. because maybe he's going to steal something. That's not lifnei iver lo yisita michshol. Even though gezel v'arayis nafshon shol odem mechandosin v'salosin, but a person has a cheskes kashrus v'cheskes yisrael lo yasu avu. V'rak ha-choshud, if someone is already a choshud, enochinami da'asulim so b'yodik klom, a person like that, it's not so pasha. V'haynu taima desamchino l'chadchila ha-chazoko mishon d'loy efshir. And you find we're always soy mechan chazokis b'mokam d'loy efshir. D'i loy tismoik ha-chazoko im kein loy shofkes chay l'chol ben. Aval enochinami heichod de'efshir v'tkune. But let's say you don't have to be soy mechan chazoko. So then it's already a whole sugi in shas. That when you don't have to be soy mechan chazoko, you're not soy mechan chazoko. And in a case like that, so for example, if you're going to be malves chaveri shaloi be'edim, have edim. Now, the person has a chazaka, but why being soymechan the chazaka? Have edim. Enochinami, b'chai gavmi, you're not soymechan the chazaka. So he says like this, the reason ordinarily we're more makel, we're more lenient when it comes to situations like this, you could hire a shaymet pekad, you could do all these things, it's based on the fact that a person has a chazaka. Now, do you have a right to be soymechan chazaka? Of course, the whole shas is filled with that. Stating that, the whole shas is filled with being soymechan chazaka, is b'makam to lo yefshar. And lo shofkes chai l'chol barrier is enough of an impetus to create a scenario where it's lo yefshar, and as a result, you have a right to be soymechan chazaka. But if you're in a situation where you don't have to be soymechan chazaka, like you're going to lend somebody money, and instead of lending him the money without edim, you might as well lend him the money with edim, it's different. And over there, there's no question in the world that you should have the edim. And he says the same is true with a shaymet pekadin, and he works through all the different scenarios had to do. One patent that he had was, you know, regarding this shayla. So this person wants to set up his misharis, right? Hide money somewhere. He's coming out, he can't do it. Why not? Because you're going to be over lifnei iver loik sinta michshol. You don't need to do it for your loy shavkes chayla chalberi, and as a result, awesome. It's not something that you're allowed to do. So he says he had one eitzah. His eitzah was maybe be mezakeh the money to this person. Zochim l'adam shaloi b'fanav. So the money's going to be his anyway. So when he comes to steal the money, so the money that he's going to end up stealing was his. So like this, there was no lifnei iver, right? So now you can have your cake and eat it too. Because you get to find out whether this person's an erlich guy. What's the problem? You just tempted him to steal. And if he decides to take the money for himself, see, he's a goslin. He's not a goslin, because you were mezakeh to him. Zochel adam shloi b'fanav, so it's his anyways. So he ended up not stealing regardless. But he says it's also not so pashut, because al zeh ne'emar isha haferim v'ashem yislach la, right? It's talking about where a woman made a nether, her husband was made for the nether, she doesn't know he was made for the nether, and she went ahead and she violated the nether. So even though she didn't violate the nether, abba v'ashem yislach la, he's mitzayin the gemara, and then mesach this kedush. Either way, this is the toichen. This is the toichen of this tshuva as it relates to our Gemara. So the Torah of the Shema brought out a very big chiddush from our Gemara, a big chiddush in his eyes, and that is that lifnei iver lo yisita michshol is true, not only if it's vaday gonna be the lifnei iver lo yisita michshol, but even if it's only a suffix that it might come to the lifnei iver lo yisita michshol, even then it's gonna be a problem. What's the makar? Kol misha yesh loy mois umalva oisim shloy be'edim oiver mishum v'lifnei iver lo yisita michshol. What's his chiddush la'alacha? You now let it set somebody up. What's a pellet to me is that the Torah Lishma was not mitzayin literally the next Gemara, right? What was the next Gemara? The next Gemara was, I mean, if you would have asked me this Shaila, only because Pacha learned the daf yesterday, I would have said, what do you mean it's a Mefurish Gemara? And if you shtel it to Ayin Heyam at Beis above Mitzvah, how do you not shtel to the next Gemara? Right, Rav Ashi wanted to test Ravina. He wanted to see where Ravina's holding. See, Pacha set him up to be Malva Shaloi Be'edim, which is Aser. Right? It's a halacha. Wrong Gemara. So it should have been us. Meaning, L'chura, Rav Ashi, by setting up Ravina, was being goyver v'lifnei iver l'isita michshol. Now, this is a very interesting v'lifnei iver. He's being goyver a v'lifnei iver for a v'lifnei iver. Right? Is there an iser to be a v'lifnei iver to someone where his iser that he's going to be goyver is v'lifnei iver? Not, right? You can't be v'lifnei iver to be machshel someone to eat nevela, so I can't be v'lifnei iver to get someone else to be over v'lifnei iver. But the truth is, if you look in the Rishonim already, the Rishonim said it could be this iser to be malva shaloi be'edim is not a real iser. It could be it's only midas chesidus. This is already a whole nother shmuz, not for now. But the bottom line is, it's just interesting that ishtel tzu bava mitziyah in Eyamid Beis, and I hear the tzushtel is obviously a fire tzushtel, but I would have thought the next gemara is mamish spot on. It's interesting, there's another tshuva from the Torah Lishma where he ishtel tzu this sugya right here, and that is the tshuva, the first one that we mentioned was Simin Tav Zayin. This other one is Simin Shin Samech Dalet. The name of the Simin is Oifanim Bahem Mutal Lashanes Bedibura. So he starts off, Sheva, Matsinu B'inyan HaShekesh U'chamer Ma'oid, V'hu Me'ar B'kitois that are not right the Pnei Shechina. Yet, we find sometimes you're allowed to be Mishana. Right? Sometimes you're allowed to lie. Mutter Lashinus Mibne Darke Shalom brings the Gemara in Eil Metzias, Hani Klas Mili of the Rabbana the Mishana Bidurai, or Bemesachta Bepuraya, Adloyad, right, Bushmiza. But he wants to, are there any other times we're allowed to be Mishana? Are you allowed to distort the truth? See, he goes through with incredible Bekias. It's half of it. He starts from Mesachta's Brachas. His first Ma'ar Mokhan is Brachas Dav Dalet, the next one is Brachas Chav Zayin, Brachas Mem Gimel, then he goes to Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Erevin. Literally, he goes Aseda Ashas through Bavli, and then he goes to Yerushalmi, and then he starts with the Masechtas Kala, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Medrash Shoichetov, he has a raya from Sefer Chassidim. Either way, he brings between 40 and 50 rayas, literally, I counted them very quickly, but it's somewhere between 40 and 50, where you find in different scenarios where people didn't tell the truth. So people lie. One of his rayas is Bava Metzia, Davai and Hail Midbeis. It's the same story. What happened? Rav Ashen tells Ravina, Erev Shabbos, I have a piece of property. I need to buy it right now. If I don't close now, right, time is of the essence. I'm going to lose it. How did he have a right to say it? He can't say something that's not true. So he says, this is one of my rayas, that as much as this is one of the Arba Kittas that are not ready to play Shechina, but you see, sometimes you're allowed to do it. Rav Ashi, he doesn't explain it. He doesn't give a hesper why it would be mutter over here. But the bottom line is, he says, Chabam Mufurishwa. See, here he does tell through the story. It's a whole different truth. But the bottom line is, this is what's going on in the Torah Lashma. So I just want to tell you something very interesting, and that is, who was the Mechaber of the Torah Lashma, right? So this is Shaloi Kedar Keinu. Usually we speak out of Tshuva, we have to say who wrote the Tshuva. So who wrote Shaul Tshuva's Torah Lashma? This is a fascinating history related to Shaul Tshuva's Torah Lashma. So the Shaul Tshuva's Torah Lashma was put together by none other than the Ben Ishchai. Yosef Chaim, he begged that, HaGoyin HaGod. He's the one who was Matakit. And in the introduction to the Sefer, he writes as follows, quote, Amar HaMatik, this is the Ben Ishchai writing, Al Yidei Nes, Nizdamin Liyodi Chibur Zeh B'Ksav Yad Yashan. Through a miracle, I came across a Ksav Yad Yashan, Sheyukoshel HaKoyri, which was very difficult to read. V'nodarti, and I made a neder, Lahatikoy Biyodi, that I'm going to rewrite it with my own handwriting, Lasois Chesed Em HaMechav Zechorin Elevracha, Boshin, to do a good deed with the Mechav. V'alpi Aroiv, Eim Ba'olam Ha'etek Acha Misefer Hazeh. He says, Alpi Roiv, it's Kamat not been nimtzo another copy of this Sefer. V'toydu L'kel Yisparach, Shayodai Neskayim Chibur Zeboil. It's because of me, I thank Hashem, that this Chibur exists in the world. He commits, and this Hatoka that I made is mamish being mekayim the mitzvah asay of Hashavas Aveda. V'chol hamatikoi, any person that's going to print it, lemitzvah rabba techoshev lo, he's going to get a very, very big mitzvah. And he talks a little bit more about this Chibur. He says the Chibur was written in the year Tof Membeis, the Hollow. So these were tshuvas starting from the year Tof Membeis. So Tof Membeis would be Lemisparenu 1681-1682, just to put it in perspective. And he says this Mechaber, who lived in Baghdad, which is where the Ben Ishchai lived, he says he had left over this Ksav Yad, and he went and he printed this Sefer. L'maisa, the Sefer was properly printed for the first time in the year Tof Shin Lamed Gimel. This is in 1973. And it was printed by Bnei Mishpacha of the Ben Ishchai. This is a sefer that meant a lot to the Ben Ishchai, as he writes. And as a result, the family got together and they printed the sefer. Oh, by the way, I left out the most important part. Who wrote the sefer? Who's the mechaber? So his name was Yecheskel Kachli. That was his name. Yecheskel Kachli. He's the one that wrote the sefer, Torah Lishma. Either way, so they print the sefer and they write as follows. In the Akdama to the sefer. He says, "Kidei lo das miu amechaber." Who was this Yecheskel Kachli? So the enikel of the Ben Ishchai, who prints the sefer, he says as follows: "Sha'alti mi'es rabboni habavlim b'Yerushalayim." He said, "I asked the Babylonian rabbonim in Yerushalayim, umichlolam harav amakubal, Rabbi Ephraim Menashe Kohen, va'omar li, and he told me, 'Sheshoma mipi harav hagadol arisha bechabura soiver harazim.'" Maharash Agassi, Zechorin Olavracha. Sheshoma min Arava Mekubal, Benon Shal Kedoshim, Rabbi Yaakov, Zechorin Olavracha, Lechai Yoyle Mabo, Ben Rabbeinu, the son of the Ben Ishchai, Zechorin Olavracha, Lechai Yoyle Mabo, Ki Sefer Torah Lashma Hana, that this Sefer Torah Lashma, Ovav Hu Chibrai. It was written not by Yecheskel Kachli, but rather it was written by none other than the Ben Ishchai. Shekach Amaloi Ovid Beferish, he said he heard this from his father. There was this Sefer Torah Lashma that the Ben Ishchai was matik. And it's an incredible, brilliant Ka'inisha Sefer. And it was written by Yid Yecheskel Kachli. No one ever heard of Yecheskel Kachli. No one knew who he was. So he said, I did a little bit of research, and I found B'Shem Magidei O'Emes that told me in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, who was the famous son of the Ben Ishchai, that he said his father told him that he's actually the one that wrote the Sefer. And you know why he called it Torah Lashma? He said he called it Torah Lashma because this was Torah Lashma. Nobody would know that he wrote it. And until today, no, joking. Nobody knew that he wrote the Sefer. It's Goli V'Yoduo Meforsim. I'm not the one being Megala these Rosin. But he says that's why he called the Sefer Torah Lashma. And they told him, Remez Ledover, he said that Yecheskel Kachli is the same gematria as Yosef Chaim, which was the name of the Ben Ishchai. Yecheskel is gematria 156, which is the gematria of Yosef, and Kachri is gematria 68, which is the gematria of Chaim. And this is what he said. Al Kaponim, this was this rumor that was like mamish, aid me, PA, that this author, Yecheskel Kachli, never existed. Or I wasn't sure if you pronounce it Kachli or Kuchli. Truth is, he never existed, so I'm not sure. I think however you pronounce it, it's right or wrong. But the bottom line is, never happened. Mamish never happened. But what did he do? He wanted to write this Sefer Torah Lashma. So he places him in a place, mamish, in the late 1600s in Baghdad. Okay, he's tucked away somewhere. And like this is not such a kasha, no one ever heard of him. And he puts out this brilliant Sefer known as Torah Lashma. Lamaisa, not everybody agreed with this whole inyan that Yecheskel Kachli is really the Ben Ishchai. I mean, think about the chiddush of the inyan, right? That it should be really the Ben Ishchai that he would do something like this. In fact, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Avadia Yosef. This is in Shailos HaTshuvas Yabia Omer. It's in Chelik Tes. It's Eirach Chaim at Simen Tzadik Vav. So I'll tell you something very interesting. If you look at the end of Chelik Tes in Yabia Omer, it's starting from Simen Ayin Vav, and it's Simen after Simen after Simen. So they have here all the Hagoyis that the Yabia Omer that Moran Avadia wrote on different Svarim. So it's mamish. Every simin is the name of another sefer and the orus that he has on the sefer. So simin tzadik vav is beinyan mechaber sefer Torah Lashma ho'im hu agoyin Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Is it really the Ben Ishchai? So he says as follows. He says b'toy chiburei hiskarti kamet shuvas mi sefer Torah Lashma ksav yad. Says if you go through my chibur, I quote very often the sefer Torah Lashma. Shehuvu ayodai ezi yechidin b'chashon latfisam. I saw it printed for the first time, and it was printed by the Einik of Rabbi Yosef Chaim, Rab David. That the author of the Sefer is the Ben Ishchai. And this that he writes, Yecheskel Kachli, at the end of every tshuva, Hine Yosef Begematria, Yecheskel Chaim Begematria, Kachli, et Shnerotza Lahalim Shmoy. And this is what he did. He says, "V'chein shamati mizman mipi Reb Ephraim Cohen sheshama kemi Reb Shimon Agassi chaver Reb Yosef Chaim zochrein olavrach." V'chein kari Torah Lashma. That's why he called it Torah Lashma. It's Torah Lashma because he's not even going to tell you who he is. There's no cover that he's going to get from this. V'ani oimer says Moran Avadia. I hold l'chayre near the lab Reb Yosef Chaim. Can't be. Kibak Thomas Hamati Kosaf. He reads that whole hakdama that he said he found it all your day. Anes the ganze meisa the gamma kama kosher loymer shen yoymer chas v'sholom kidvar sheker. What he lied today lahalim shema mechaber. How could you say he lied? It's not possible. He says not just that. I know from the svar Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Right, he told about Rabbi Avad Yosef photographic ben benoishal photograph. He knows everything. The frat Rabbi Yosef Chaim. This is his Indian, right? He says the gam Rabbi Yosef Chaim zal hoyim. Says, I know he was a gaver kapdano. The eich kosav zechreinu levracha. Says a heretic. I know he wouldn't have written on himself zechreinu levracha. It's not something he would have said about himself because he was a gaver kapdano. And then he says he brings mamish. He goes through and he tries bringing different rayas. And then he says there's some tshuvas there that are very shver. He says no, if it's from a mechaber that no one ever heard of, it doesn't bother me that it's so shver. But he said if Yosef Chaim would have said this, then it's already very very shver, and he has a very very big problem. Lamaisa, the sefer Torah Lashma was reprinted about 10 years ago by Mechon Avat Shalom. That's Rabbi Yaakov Hillel's Mechon. And Rabbi Yaakov Hillel writes a psicha, and in his psicha he says that one of the contributions that we made to this edition of Torah Lashma is that we have like a 50-page mavoi, and in the mavoi we analytically, academically, mamish, we prove b'li shum shayla shaba'olam that the mechaber of the sefer Torah Lashma is Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Yecheskel Kachli never existed. Lo yehoyev lo nivra. There was never such a person. and he sends his pasha to him, and they thank in the Mavi three ga'onim that worked on this sefer. So who are the three ga'onim? Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel Shlita, Shavu Rufu Shalema, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Soifa Shlita, and Rabbi Meir Mazuz Shlita. These are the three biggest ga'onim in the Sfaradish world. And they all worked on this sefer, and all three of them said, Belish Shum Shailu Sheba'olam. Said, there's no suffix in the world that's what happened. And it has to be this the way it is. And in the Mavoi, it's made up of seven prakim. Each parak is dedicated to something else where they prove it. I'll just mention one because it got really late. But just one to get a little bit of a time. And that is, so in this sefer, Torah Lashma, he quotes a whole bunch of svarim that had not been printed yet in the years 1680s, which is a little bit of a problem, right? Now, these were old svarim. And the Mechaber, Yecheskel Kachli, he doesn't refer to them as Sfarim, right? He doesn't say, I have the Oiz Vahadar edition. That's not what he says. But he says, I have an Iksavya. Which would then mean that Yecheskel Kachli, whoever he was, had an incredible library of Kisveya, right? So they went, and they were Malakit. This is a short list. But I'll give you a short list of Kisveya that this Yid Yecheskel Kachli had to have had. And not just he had, he was the only one that had, because no one else in the world knew about these Kisveya. Now, mind you, some of them are in the Oxford Library, some of them are in the Vatican, but this is a Yid in Baghdad who's the only person on the planet that have these Svarim, Biksavya. So here's the list. The Ritvan Yevamis, the Ritvan Bava Basri, the Ritvan Yuva, the Chuvas from the Marie Bruna, the Chuvas from the Merachar Zeruah, the Marie Kurkis on the Rambam, the Shita Mekubetz on the Sechtes Brachis, there's a Pirish called Shiori Karbon on Yerushalmi, then there's a lot of the Shar from Darizal, Shar Kavanah, Shar Mani Razal, Shar Mitzvah, Shar Mamori Rashbi, Shar Ruach HaKoydeh, Shar Gilgulim, Shar Akdamah, Shar Psukim, Shar Likutim, the Meiri on Shabbos, the Meiri on Yuma, the Meiri on Soita, the Toysus Rosh on Hoyeris, the Chuvas Harith, the Taskin and Bali Toysus, the Chuvas Harith, Agois Maram Papiris, etc., etc., etc. So he's somehow the only person in the whole world that even bring that one time he wrote, I have it in Kisveyat, I shall nidvasa adayin. Who said it's ever going to be printed? That's cute. But the bottom line is, there's like a whole list. It's actually fascinating. And they have like cross references. There's a whole bunch of places where the Ben Ishchai writes in one of his svarim, Herachti Zeb Mokemache. You can't find anywhere where he was Meirich, but in Torah Lishma, there's a whole Arichas on it. And then they found different Hagois that he had on his Gemara where it looks like he was setting up for the Sefer Torah Lishma. Meaning, Torah Lishma, these weren't real Shailas, right? So he was like anticipating a Shail. Like, is there Lifnei Evil? See the mechshol on a suffix where the person might do the aver, but al kaponim he has this whole arichos here on the side. Then there's a lot of shailas where they say they have rayas that he was the mechaber because it seems like these were shailas that were negaya his own life. Remember, they have a whole chapter on that where it sounds like his shailas. I'll mention one of them. He says echad sheyesh lo aim sheshma mazel tov. There's someone. This gives you a little feel of the sefer Torah Shema. It's a very very chikava sefer. You know what chikava means, right? It's very very chikav. Chikav balaz. But the bottom line is a very chikava sefer. Says a person whose mother's name is mazel tov. The minig in Baghdad was that a woman, after she has a baby, a daughter, when all the family comes, what did they tell the Yoledes? They say, Mazel Tov, Beis Milois Elu Dafka Vesuloi. Mamish al tapil dover mikola, but not more and not less. You can't say more than Mazel Tov. So what's the Shiloh? The question is, what happens when her sons come in and they're going to want to wish her Mazel Tov? Could they say Mazel Tov? Her name is Mazel Tov. So are they allowed to say Mazel and not allowed to say Mazel? It's a little bit of a funny Shiloh. So they bring that you should know that the Ben Ishchai's mother's name was Mazel Tov. The Kohena Rabbis, he had a Shiloh about somebody wants to buy a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to have Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael. The Shaila is it better to buy a house or is it better to buy a field? You buy a house that's like a Beis Dira or a field where you can give Chumas. A Maisa, a whole Shaila. A Maisa they bring that the Ben Ishchai, before he made Aliyah, before he went to Eretz Yisrael, when he was still in Baghdad, this was something that was very important to him, and he sent the Shliach to go to Eretz Yisrael to buy him a property, and he had this whole Shaila. So he said, if you know the life of the Ben Ishchai, even that brings a lot of the Torah Lishma to life. But the bottom line is they mamish, they without... reasonable, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. Thank you. It's so clear to them, it's not even a shiloh to these ga'onim that the Torah Lishma was the Ben Ishchai. There was never a person to live by the name of Yecheskel Kachli. It's so interesting. He calls him Zichrono Livracha, and he tells some stories about him. He got up at Derech Nes. It's taka fascinating. If you look at the end of the tshuva from Rabbi Avadi Yosef, so at the very, very end, he says like this, Uka'es nitvas mechker makit mazeh, ne'isa rav agoyin rav Yehuda lovi, Ben David, b'seif ha'shevet miYehuda, gam ro'isi b'kervis mishnas chacham in Tishrei Tovshin Samach, b'maimer mi'eis ha'rab ha'goyin, Rabbi Zriel Mansour, shakosav sheshol azem mi'eis ha'rab ha'goyin, Rabbi Yaakov Mutzafi, zichat
tzaddik levracha. The amalei shesefer Torah l'shma enoy the Rabbi Yosef Chaim ad kan dvarav lamaisa. He doesn't know. He came out pashas that it wasn't Rabbi Yosef Chaim. They came out that it very much was real. What was the great sakasha? What was the great sakasha that Rabbi Vad Yosef had on this whole inyan? He said, how would he lie? He can't lie. Truth is, the whole siman in Torah l'shma, siman shin tzavik dalet, we have 45 different times when you're allowed to lie. You have to go through them a little bit better, but I have a chashash that if you go through that siman in Torah l'shma, I didn't have a chance to do it, you might find the answer to that question, because it's true, you're not allowed to lie, but there might be 45 exceptions. Don't try this at home where you are allowed.